Welcome, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, and dear friends joining us for this Lord's Day's service. I pray that God's most precious word may bless you this evening. Our text for today is taken from the Gospel according to Matthew. We'll be looking at chapter 2 as a whole, but we'll be looking at a particular emphasis upon verse 13. Really, I just want to bring comfort and encouragement to any out there who are struggling in such uncertain times that we live in. We see so much uncertainty, don't we, with this COVID-19 virus. We see how it's literally brought economies around the world to its knees, and many people are concerned of how they're going to provide. Businesses are going under, millions of people are losing their jobs, and people are thinking, well, how am I going to provide? How long is this going to continue for? And there's so much uncertainty. But really, I just want to bring the certainty that God's word can bring you in this life. There is absolute certainty to God's word. The Lord will guide and provide for you. That is the title for today's sermon. The Lord will guide and provide for you. If you trust in him and you look to him alone, he will be the one who will truly guide and provide for you. And we see people in today's passage who knew very much of that. Often we can be, our circumstances can be clouded by the things of this world, and we can't look beyond the horizon of things of this world. But really, if we truly want to guidance and peace and to be provided for, we need to look to the things of God. And today's passage, really, I just want to bring home that the Lord will be there to guide you through this and to provide for you. So let's look at today's text taken from the Gospel according to Matthew, starting with verse 1 of chapter 2. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And so we have these wise men coming to Jerusalem, being guided by the Lord to Jerusalem. And those, of course, are truly wise who are guided by the Lord to go and worship the Lord, to seek the Lord, that light in the darkness, as it were. And they're coming, they're being guided by the Lord, and they were guided as far as Jerusalem by the star. Now, when they were in Jerusalem, Herod the king and the whole of Jerusalem were troubled at their coming, and they heard that they were looking for the King of the Jews, of course the Savior of the world, the promised Messiah, and they were troubled. Why were they troubled? Of course, they were troubled. Many were troubled. The king, no doubt many of the leaders, the priests and the scribes, and many of the people were troubled, really, because they were living in sin. And they were living away from God in their life. The God that had blessed Israel, had taken them through so many things, many of them were living in their sin. And that's why they were troubled, because of course God is not only a God of love and long-suffering and mercy, but he is a God of divine justice. And so the Lord guided these wise men to Jerusalem. Now the text carries on and says in verse 4, "And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together," that is King Herod, "he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, In the land of Judah art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. And then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. And so the wise men were guided to Jerusalem, and now they were given Old Testament words, prophecies concerning where he was to be born. And that was, of course, Bethlehem. And so they were told by the king to go and to seek out the king of the Jews, which they came a great distance from. They were guided by the Lord from. And we see, ironically, even the enemies of God. We see King Herod actually ironically guiding the wise men. And we see here God's mysterious ways in guiding even those who are trying to harm and stop the Saviour of the world coming. Little did he know, he was actually helping the cause. And such as with the wicked who try to stop the things of God, little do they know that they actually often help the cause of the gospel. You know, when a diamond is cut, it shines the brighter, says the Puritan Thomas Watson. But we see here the wise men guided now to Bethlehem. We see the pretense of Herod saying, "Well, give me word, and I'll come and worship him also." Of course, he had no intentions of worshiping the King of the Jews, the coming Savior of the world. He wanted to destroy him. He wanted him out of mind and out of sight. Of course, because he was competition for Herod, and that is true of people who are living in their sins. They want those who are Christians out of mind, out of sight. And that's why we see so much hostility in our Western media. We don't want to hear about the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't want to hear them preached about. And that's why we see so much hostility. But we, by God's grace, need to stand up for the Lord. Even when we see so much hostility and people saying, well, you need to be quiet about these things. Just keep yourself to your home. And really, we need to stand up and be counted for and bear our crosses. Sorry, I digress. It goes on to say in verse 9, when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced and with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Verse 13, and when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. And so we see here the wise men again miraculously being guided to the very house by the star that reappeared and directed them to the very house. It was the Lord's star that directed them to the very house that Joseph and Mary were in, and the baby Lord Jesus. Now, we see here the gifts they presented, these very extravagant gifts for the Saviour of the world, gold and frankincense and myrrh. I'm not going to get too much into detail about that. But I just really want to encourage you who are believers. When the Lord guides, he always provides his people. When the Lord guides, he always provides. And we see, really, the Lord's guiding his people, providing and guiding for his people here. Because in verse 13, Joseph, in a dream, was warned from an angel. Behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt. So the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph and said, you need to flee into Egypt. Now, think about that. Joseph was asked really to pack up and leave. Literally, it's like asking you or me to leave our jobs and to leave our friends and the things that we're familiar with, the places where we, our churches where we go to worship, family, loved ones, all these things, to leave them and literally go into a country like Iraq or Iran or Afghanistan, a place where really you're a target, a place really of great hostility and oppression of God's people, where you really are an infidel if you're a Christian, a place where they persecute Christians. And Egypt was a spiritually dark place. It had always been a dark place for God's people. The Lord's people, of course, for many years were in bondage in Egypt and were oppressed by the Egyptians and by Pharaoh. And so this is the context. Joseph was asked to go into Egypt. They've just had miraculously had the babe, Lord Jesus. And they were asked to go into a dangerous country for them. And yet we see here Joseph's obedience in listening. He doesn't complain. He doesn't murmur, but he believes in the Lord, and he departs and he leaves. And we see here the Lord's guiding and providing, the Lord's divine guiding and providing, because a few verses before, in verses 11, the gifts presented by the wise men to the Lord Jesus Christ were not only presented to the Lord, but they're really, they were provision from the Lord to Joseph and Mary, because, of course, Joseph had to leave his job as a carpenter, and carpenters in those days, of course, were relatively poor. They were not well off at all. He more than likely had no extra cash. That's why they were in some lowly stable or inn, and so they weren't well off at all. But yet the Lord providentially provides for them the gold, the frankincense and the myrrh that would sustain them whilst in Egypt. Of course, it would be very hard for Joseph to get a job whilst in Egypt with the great hostility they have towards God's people. And so these gifts would sustain them. The scripture doesn't furnish us, as far as I know, from the amount of time. There's a lot of speculation behind it. But scripture doesn't furnish us for how long they were in Egypt for. It may have been months. It may have been a few years. But it was for some time. But you see, I just want to bring home this principle that the Lord, when he asks us to do something by his word, if we will obey his voice and cry unto him, he will guide us and provide for us. He not only guides, he provides. And often the Lord God guides by degrees. And what I mean by degrees is a dedicated space of time, a specific space of time. Often God guides by degrees. Now, yes, the Lord can answer our prayers very quickly. He is a very present help in danger and in trouble. And if you've been a Christian for any length of time and you're praying for someone or someone's praying for you and there's something urgent that you bring before the Lord, and one of those arrow prayers is very urgent, it's very quick, and you cry unto the Lord, and before you finish your prayer, a doorbell goes, or an email comes in, or a telephone call happens, and miraculously, before you even finish praying, that the Lord amazingly answers your prayer. Now, yes, the Lord can answer prayers like that and guide in such a way, but more often than not, the Lord does guide us by degrees. And so I just really want to bring home that principle in Scripture. And there is a purpose behind why the Lord guides by degrees. You know, the world that we live in, everything is based around convenience. And, you know, people often make decisions in haste. I've got to get this and I've got to get that. And they can't wait for guidance. Everything has to be immediate in our impatient culture that we live in, but not so with God. We are told over and over again from Scripture to wait upon the Lord, to look to Him, to look to His Word. It is the living Word. God's Word speaks to our circumstances. All His prophecies came true. And so I just really want to bring home that principle in Scripture that the Lord often answers our prayers and guides us by degrees, by spaces of time, and says, this is the way, walk ye in. This is the way. Believe in my word. Believe in what I have put down in my word, in the Bible. And God will be faithful to his word. It says in God's word, lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Don't look to yourself. And, you know, so often, and I've heard it so much in the last few months, that so many people are looking to the government or to the National Health Service or to so many other things. And so many people are ending up being so disappointed because, to begin with, the government are saying, well, you know, yes, we'll provide for you whatever it takes. You know, we'll get you through this. And now, really, the government are saying that we can't provide for everyone, that it's going to be difficult times ahead, you know, and we can't, the NHS can't save everyone. And so really, I just want to encourage you to cry to the Lord in your difficulties that you may be going through and uncertainties. There is absolute certainty with the Lord. There's a purpose to why God does guide by degrees. And that is because he wants us to depend upon him and to walk by faith and not just live like the rest of the world does in unbelief, wanting a sign or wanting some outward thing. He wants us to walk by faith, believing and trusting in his promises and in his word. And he tells Joseph, go into this place, into this hostile place, into Egypt, and I will bring you word again. He has already provided for him the means of income. He's already provided for him those things. And I can say, dear friends, the Lord will guide and provide you. And you just got to trust in his word. And you've got to believe he promises those who truly do seek him. He will provide for those who truly do seek him with all their hearts. He'll never ever fail you nor leave you. And so we see here in verse 13 also, let's just read that text again. And when they departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. Now, do you notice that the Lord, the angel of the Lord, tells Joseph to take the young child first, and then his mother? Now, of course, humanly speaking, that the closest relationship the Bible describes, of course, apart from our relationship that we need to have with God, he needs to be first, is of course between a husband and a wife. That should be the closest. And so really, the order here is unusual, because normally you would have thought, take your wife and your children, because your wife is critical in looking after your children. And so we have here really an unusual order, but it's a deliberate order. God's word is so perfect. The order, the reason why the child comes first here and not the mother, is because this is not any ordinary child. This is the Saviour of the world. There is a grand purpose in all these things, that the scriptures may be fulfilled, that the prophesied promised Messiah of the world, the Saviour of the world, would come to save his people from their sins. There is an important thing, dear friends, amongst all these things that are going on in your life. There is a purpose, a spiritual purpose, during all these struggles. And I just hope that you who are perhaps listening to this message can see that during these times there are great opportunities to have God's love and grace known to a lost world. And Joseph here, really, he takes the word come flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ. He picks up the child first. And it's as God's word says, isn't it, that God's, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You know, God's word, we have to take up God's word first before anything else in life. That's why we have the text, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. If we want to be guided by the Lord God, if we truly want sound guidance and to be provided for, both spiritually and physically, we need to go to the right place. We need to go to the word of the living God. This the child here is the word become flesh. It is the very express image of who God is. The Lord Jesus Christ came. He is fully God and fully man. And he is the first thing that we need to seek in life. And so Joseph rightly takes the child first. And we, dear friends, we need to pick up our lamps, God's word, first, don't we? You know, if you... A lamp is of no use to you or I if it's not picked up for it, friends. Now, perhaps with this pandemic, God has perhaps has revealed to you. I know he's encouraged me more in this, and brought this more to my attention, of our absolute need to pick up God's word. We've got to make sure that the Bible is our number one book. We've got to make sure that the Lord God is number one in our life, and that we take him wherever we go. Like Joseph took up the child, he must be on the pedestal of our heart. He must be the chiefest of our desires, to live for him, to take him everywhere where we go. And so we've got to be guided by God's word. We've got to take up God's word wherever we go here. And so we see here the order is important. And of course, the Lord promises Joseph, again, he promises that he will give Joseph word. He is to obey his word, obey by degrees. I'll give you word again. You obey me, obey my faithful word. I've never ever let you down, and I never will do. And I will come again for you. And of course we see that. It goes on to say in verse 14, and he arose, that is Joseph, and took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. What a difficult thing that must have been. We've just had my wife and I have just had a new baby girl in the last 2-3 weeks or so, Lydia Faith. And we praise the Lord for this new blessing in our life. And this will be our 8th child. And, you know, I cowardly, when my wife was talking about children to me about obviously the financial constraints, my wife, by God's grace, reassured me that with mouths, God provides means. And we need to go by faith, dear friends. And we need to believe. Because, of course, stopping children coming into the world and preventing them from coming into the world. Sorry, a little bit of a digression, but preventing them from coming in the world is sin. It really is murder if you think about it. Preventing children as a contraceptives. And I know lots of even conservative commentators are very neutral on this, but it is sin because you're stopping life. You're stopping future children to be raised in God's way. And they are called blessings for a purpose. And I think Malachi, it says that God desires godly seed. Sorry, I'll digress a little bit. But the Lord often answers us by degrees. And he did with Joseph. You know, he was asked, it's so much, as I say, we just had a child. There are some late nights if you've got a child, and it's not easy. But of course, we're talking about the Lord Jesus here. But nevertheless, he took off into that hostile country, that place of so much idolatry and so much false gods. But he believed that the Lord would protect him and guide him and bless him. I just really want to encourage you who are going through difficult times, who are struggling with what's going on at the moment. Trust in the Lord. Cry unto him. Look for the answers in God's word. He will give you the answers. Of course, I'm not telling you to get up and relocate and to do this and that. Please, don't be hasty in that respect. But what I'm telling you is God will have the answers for you. He will direct you. His word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It directs us. Without God's word, we're in darkness. We are in spiritual darkness, and we need God to light us. And you know, quite ironically, we have here a child, a baby child, who is no ordinary child. This is the Saviour of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. All those in the world who would come to believe in him by faith. And the child here is looking after his parents. Instead, of course, his parents are in a certain way looking after him, of course, but more so, we see here the Lord Jesus providing for Joseph for the means, providing, upholding all things by his power, interceding, making a way for Joseph and the family to have food and a home and all those things whilst in Egypt, and guiding them, divinely guiding them and providing for them. Even when a babe, the Lord Jesus, the triune God, Father, Son and Holy Spirit, is providing here for Joseph and Mary. The Lord will guide and provide for you, dear friends. It goes on to say in verse 15, and was there until the death of Herod, that is Joseph Mary in Egypt, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt I called my son. And then it goes on to say in verse 16, then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wrath, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and all the in all the coast thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time when he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by the Jeremiah the prophet, saying, in Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they are not. But verse 19, but when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeareth in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. And this is again what I'm saying, is the Lord often answers us by degrees. Herod persecuted and murdered children, young children, to try to take out the Saviour of the world. Of course, his attempts fail. And dear friends, who can stop us who are Christians? Who can prevent us from the things of God? Who can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord? Nothing can separate you, dear friends. If you're trusting in him, he has already made a way for you to be right with him. In what he has done on that cruel cross of Calvary for your sins, he has made a way for you to be saved in that perfect sacrifice. And he will guide you. If he's able to save you, which he is, he will also divinely guide you and provide for you, like he did here with Joseph and Mary. And of course, the Old Testament prophecies of all these things were accomplished. We see here how the Lord is so faithful concerning his word. And yes, often we can, you know, we cannot understand God's ways, and sometimes they can be a mystery. But sometimes, dear friends, we've the Lord tells us to go in a direction which could be contrary to what we want. You know, sometimes when we think we're in safety and we think we're secure, like perhaps like Joseph did and Mary did, you know, in Bethlehem, in familiar circles, family and friends and brethren. Although, of course, they came from an illustrious family, David the king, yet the family tree had withered down, like it says in Isaiah, out of a dry ground. Poor family, and yet the Lord provided for them and guided them. And the Lord can do that for you because he is always faithful concerning his word. And so I just want to encourage you that get back to God's word, friends. It is the living word. It speaks to our situation. If you really want help at the moment, get back in God's word. Open up your Bibles. Take time, quiet time, to seek the Lord. Frame your doings. Like it says in Hosea 5:4, I believe. Frame your doings around the Lord. Make sure that your day-to-day life, that God's word is not neglected. Seek him. Seek his guidance. He is always faithful concerning your word. And like I've said, I think I've mentioned already, that often in the most severest trials in life, this is personally true of me, in the most severest trials the Lord has taken me through, in those Red Sea moments where you feel like you're trapped, you see everything's crashing in beside you, and when you, if you cry out to the Lord and seek him and seek his guidance from his word, it is a light, a lamp and a light. If you seek him, he will guide you, friends. He delights that you depend upon him as a heavenly father. He will guide you and he will provide for you. You know, I was raised in South Africa, and when you often had bushfires. I used to live in a place called Fishhook, surrounded in a valley by mountains, and a hot summer would often bring bushfires, and you'd literally see mass parts of the mountain on fire. But, you know, not long after those, it literally would take out a third of the mountain on each side, or even sometimes even more. Not long after, would spring up all this new life out of the ashes, as it were. And if any of you are do a bit of gardening, you'll know that potash is very conducive for new life. It actually helps. There's a gospel message in that as well. But you see, it's not a bad thing when severe trials happen in our life. Actually, the Lord can guide us. He has his way in the storms, dear friends, his way in the whirlwind. You know, when often in the most severest of trials, the Lord brings the greatest of blessings. And I know that's been true in my life. And I hope and pray that if you're going through difficult times at the moment, I pray that that's true from a spiritual perspective. Now, that doesn't mean that God's not going to prove you through these things. Stay close to God. Stay close to his word. Keep on depending upon him. Keep on crying to him. Wait upon him. Don't be too hasty. Look to his word and commit your way unto him, and he shall direct your path. He promises, friends. Another illustration, I once watched a program where these tropical islands were battered by this great storm, and the storm knocked over a lot of these big trees. And of course, because these big trees were knocked over, lots of new life came, because they had the light coming in. The light now shone in where these big trees were kind of canopying any light from coming in. But now they were broken. All the light came in, and all this new growth came from the light. And dear friends, you know, during the storms of life, the whirlwinds of life, if you're trusting in Christ, you know, so much new spiritual growth can happen, dear friends. You know, God's word can mightily bless you and bring great blessings in your life, just like it did with Joseph and Mary. Fulfilling scripture, there's a bigger cause in life here, not just for our own well-being who are Christians, but you can be of a great blessing and a help in bringing new life to other people in your testimony for Christ. You know, perhaps it takes a big storm in your life to knock out those big trees in your life, those things which have actually hampered you spiritually. We see the entertainment systems of the world literally being brought to nothing. You know, places where, you know, it's sad to say, so many Christians, you know, give so much time to entertainment and to sports and to so many things, and they frame their life around these things instead of around God's word. And maybe it takes a big storm in life to knock out these things, to show us really that we need to frame our life like a picture frame around God's word, and we need to look to him really for blessing and for guidance. If you're not a Christian, dear friends, if you're listening to today's sermon, I just really want to ensure to you that if you do come to Christ, he will save you, friends. He will give you that new life in him. He did that to me. I was far away from God in my life. I thought I was a good person and I was living an okay life, but I wasn't. But, you know, it took a storm really to show me that I needed God in my life. And ever since then, you know, he guided me and he blessed me. And he always has provided for me and my family. We never go hungry. He always provides. Although we've had difficulties, the Lord has been faithful. But more so, the Lord spiritually will you. Because the greater part of you, your soul, it's so important that you make sure that your soul is secure, and that you've got true spiritual food and guidance for your soul. The Lord Jesus, dear friends, he came in that lowly place in Bethlehem against all the odds of those trying to take him out, like we see in our culture today, trying to stop the word of God from coming out. Dear friends, if you've got a conscience, you know that you're a sinner. When you go outside, you can see that there's a designer. The heavens declare the glory of God. Dear friends, you know that the Lord Jesus is calling you, that effectual voice, he's calling you to repent of your sin, your great neglect of your Maker. And he's calling you today. If you're a stranger to his grace, he will do the work, friends. Come to him with all your sin and all your burdens, and he will save you, and he will guide you and provide for you, not only in this life, but he will secure you in the life, in the eternity to come. Because, of course, there is an eternity to come. There is heaven and there's a hell. And I would not wish hell upon my worst enemy. It's a place of constant regret and torment, because you rejected the Son of God, the one who loved you, that he died for you. And there is a way back to God from the dark paths of sin, dear friends. If the Lord is calling you, don't harden your heart. Listen to him. As we've seen from today's passage, he's the one, only one who has all the answers, who can truly guide you, guide for you and provide for you. And so I do hope that you will, if you're a Christian, that you'll take courage and that you will be comforted from God's word and just be reminded to put things into perspective and get back to God's word. You may be going through difficult times. Carry on, dear brother or sister in Christ. Wait upon the Lord. Be of good courage. Wait, I say, upon the Lord. He will strengthen your heart. He will pick you up if you fall. We all get it wrong, and sometimes we can be too hasty. But look to God and look to his word. He will guide you and he will provide for you, as he did in today's passage. Thank you once again for taking the time to listen to today's sermon. I pray that it has been a blessing for you.